This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All right, all right. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. How is everybody doing? Damn, we got a full house today. Love it.
Merry We have nothing else to do.
You know, right. You guys come and join me for the party, which is awesome. So do we use your real name today, or are you still No Neck Nikki?
No Neck. Nikki Jr.
Nikki Jr.'s in the house, and of course, Rich Hotay is with us. What's up, my man?
How's it going?
Good, man. All right, so, boy, I got to tell you, for all the new subscribers and raters and reviewers to the Reinvention Radio podcast, thank you for that. If you're joining us live here for the first time, welcome, and of course, we want you in on the conversation here, and the live phone number to join us in studio is 866-something-something-something-977-2346. You would think, like, after 6 months,
Studio A.
I would know what the
You got to get the number right.
I got to get the number right. Exactly. All right. So, all right. Very interesting week, and actually a couple interesting guests on today. First, we've got Kelly O'Neill on, and that will be really, really interesting.
What is that number again, by the way?
The number again, 866-977-2346. And,
very nice.
You're going to hit number one on that. Exactly. Studio A. All right. So we got Kelly O'Neill. She'll be joining us as we talk about reinventing brand marketing, in addition to reinventing sort of that whole affluent client base and whatnot. So she is a world-renowned expert, and then in the next hour...
And she's here
and
on
She's here on our show. Okay. I know. It's
world-renowned?
World-renowned, exactly.
Renowned meaning that...
Yes. Renowned meaning that at least six
famous?
People... At least six people know her. And four of them are in this room right now, because now we've heard her name. All right, so... So, yeah. And then in the next hour, man, God, we got a packed show.
Man, you could be talking to women out there.
You know, women, we got a packed show. All right, let's play a game.
Okay.
You know I like my games. All right, so in the internet marketing world, when you think about who some of the biggest names are, who comes to mind? Like, Rich, go. Who comes to mind when you think about, other than Steve Ulscher, who comes to mind for you is, like, in the internet marketing space?
Ryan Dice.
Yeah. I like Ryan Dice. Yeah, Ryan's a good
one. Brendan Burchard.
Brendan's definitely a good one. Are you following any of this, Nikki? Get involved in the online stuff?
Well, you know, like, you got to hit me over the head. Ask me the question again.
In the internet marketing space.
I was looking at this beautiful lady across from me in a running show.
And that would be Mary Millay. She's a distraction, I know.
And I want to tell you something. You talk about branding, she's already branded herself.
She has, as the rounded eyebrow Mary Goulet, which is awesome. All right, so
beautiful.
Is that a real name, by the way?
Mary Goulet?
Yes.
And she's actually related to? Robert Goulet.
One of my favorite singers of all time.
Yeah.
My mother loved Robert Goulet. Believe me, my grandmother adored Robert Goulet.
And you were, from what I understand, he actually, he raised you. And I remember your parents, you said, abandoned you when you were three. And he raised you and sang
Lullaby.
Let's go with that.
Yeah, let's go with that.
What song did he sing?
Fly Me to the Moon.
No, he didn't sing that.
Damn it. Baby's Got Back.
That's it.
Is that it?
I think that's the one.
But so the better question is, what song did Will Ferrell sing that was Robert Goulet's? Now, that's the skit of the century. All right. So we digress. So, okay. Internet marketing expert Alex Mondozian is going to be joining us here in the second hour.
Which one is he?
He would be the internet marketing expert. That
okay, but he's not here
hour.
Yet.
He will be in the second hour.
Second hour, that's right. So there's a flying in.
He'll be joining us via satellite. I think his helicopter is landing. I think he's actually riding on Trump's helicopter, and he'll be here later. Speaking of which, Biden dropped out of the race, which is interesting.
That's funny.
And I got to tell you, I think if I'm Biden, I drop out of the race, too. What do you gain from being...
He tried twice. And
his
then he
kid
just lost his son.
His kid died. It's like, what else do you got to prove? You're the vice president. Nikki, you got to... Yeah, please, have it.
Well, actually, I do have a very strong opinion. And seriously speaking, the reason why I have a serious opinion, because I was reading this over the last couple weeks, waiting for Joe Biden to make his decision or not make his decision. I was wondering, what's it going to be based on? And is there any influence? And so I came to this, that the Obamas hate the Clintons. I think that the biggest fear Obama had was that Hillary was going to follow him into the White House and bring Bill back in and then override everything that Obama has done for the last 8 years. Also, I think the biggest point of Joe Biden holding off to his decision was the fact that they were waiting, Obama and Joe Biden, if Hillary Clinton was going to be indicted in Benghazi.
Well, that's going on
right now.
Like, literally, they're in like hour seven or something right now.
So what do you think is going to happen?
I mean, look, she's, if she is not convicted, if she's not indicted, whatever, it doesn't matter. The court of public appeal will have been, you know, obviously it's hard to ignore what this will do to her reputation and the likelihood of her being elected president.
This is a very, very good conversation. Excuse me for interrupting, but I've been watching the polls, and I learned that if Biden would have entered into the nomination bid,
yeah,
that Hillary went from 1 to 3 behind Bernie Sanders. And so, like, there was a lot of politicking going on in Washington without any doubt.
Yeah, I think what ends up happening, too, is if Biden were to come in, Sanders would end up winning, because I think the Biden-Clinton thing would have been split. Sanders would have faced off, and I think he's going to get Trump or Carson.
Sanders is a freak.
He's a freak, but people like him because he's a freak.
I loved him on Saturday Night Live.
Well, they like,
yeah, right?
I mean, think about Trump, right? I mean, they love
Same
Trump because he's a freak.
Yeah.
You know, and politics has been so stale for so long. And look, reality is, we all know that the president can't do jack shit. I mean, they're just this figurehead, and they really, at the end of the day, they have no power. They're just the face that we put in front of the camera so that the rest of the world sees that there's actually someone who we, quote-unquote, put in charge.
And why is that?
And why is that? Because, obviously, you know, it's the Congress. I mean, if you
the Congress,
can't get,
exactly right. The House of Representatives and the Senate, you know, you're getting one that's biased, pro, and will block anything just because of their participation and their partisan, so to speak. I mean, that's the word I was looking for.
You can't get anything unilaterally passed. It's just not going to happen. I mean, you just can't have an idea and just steamroll it through. It's like, you remember those old cartoons where, I know growing up, there was the, you remember this one, right?
No, I'm just a bill.
I'm just a bill.
He talks?
Rich,
I thought this was a prop here.
I used to until you got in here.
Yeah, absolutely, brother. You know what I'm going to do is that I take over the whole show.
Well, there you go.
Basically, that is my assertive personality, you putting me in front of a microphone. But I want to ask you before fly. Do you think that if Hillary gets the nomination, that Bill Clinton will run as vice president?
I think Bill is
he won't run
as vice president, but he will be happy as hell to just get back in the White House. You know, I mean, can you imagine that guy? That guy is like he's a party dude. That's why people love Bill Clinton, because he just likes to have fun. Can you imagine him? Just like, no, Hillary, you go ahead and
just
do your thing. I'll take care of this side of the equation over here. We'll make sure that everybody, who wants to visit the White House, we'll just make sure they have a nice, good time. And if you're, 10 on the scale of 1 to 10, you get in free.
So if Sanders and Trump get the nomination, then who wins the election?
I think Sanders wins all day long, because at the end of the day, people will be afraid to vote for Trump.
I'm not so sure of that.
I just so do not want Sanders in office that I'd have
He's
to
weak.
Vote for him.
I have to agree with this yet, lady.
He just has these, like, one word.
Well, that's why we want him in, because we want to see what the hell is going to happen.
He has one word? What about Trump? I'm going to build a wall. It's going to be a beautiful wall, and it's going to have
a
door.
Mexicans
and it's
going to
have
pay
a gate.
For it.
All right, so this is a really interesting conversation, because really, when you come right down to it, what we're talking about is branding, right? I mean, in this case, we're talking about personal branding. I mean, politics is all about branding.
Perception.
Which is branding, right? I mean, because ultimately what you say reflects who you are, it reflects how people will see you, and it reflects your ability to connect or not connect. So ultimately, Trump is a brand that connects with a certain sort of person. Sanders is a brand that connects with another sort of person, and so on and so forth. Clinton is a brand, and I don't know who the hell she connects with. I mean, really, who does she connect with?
You know what? The word on the street is that people don't like her.
They don't like her.
A lot of power, and she was getting pummeled this morning in the congressional. There was a female, I'm assuming she was Republican, congresswoman.
Yeah,
just hammering her on these emails.
Here's all you got to do. You look at somebody's eyes, right? You can go straight to the soul through their eyes. If you look at Hillary Clinton's eyes, they're dead. I mean, like, literally, there is nothing there. Her eyes are as dead as a doornail.
She is freaking smooth. She has learned how to be politically perfect when she responds to certain questions. She dodges. She's very polite in a very passive-aggressive way.
Yeah. Yeah. Nick, you got something there, don't you?
Well, I'm a little disturbed that he told me I was doing all the talking, so I didn't want to say anything.
I didn't want to say anything
until
okay
you brought me in,
because
it's your show.
You
know what I'm saying? I mean, like, you know, I went to Catholic school, so, like, there's a lot of guilt, and, you know, I've stood in the corner so many times prior.
You've got a Super Bowl ring on. Anybody with a Super Bowl ring on gets the mic as often as they want.
It's not a Super Bowl ring. It's an NBA championship ring.
Is it?
Absolutely, with the Los Angeles Lakers. So if somebody wants to research and might find out who I might be.
All right, clear the room. This is the guy to be with.
I know. See,
that's right.
And that's all about branding. See, that's like right there. You walk into a room with a championship ring on and talk about personal branding. Bam. Like, in a nutshell, I want to talk to that guy.
Right, exactly. A lot of women do that when I'm out in bars and restaurants. It's funny. You know, they'll notice it and they'll look over and they'll keep on looking at me. And I'm thinking that they're looking at me, but actually they're looking at the ring. And
so it depends on where you hold the ring then.
Exactly. So you can put it like this. You can put it under there.
That's not exactly where I was.
And then I overheard a conversation. I was in a restaurant and the man and the lady were thinking, well, is it a Super Bowl ring or is it an NBA, you know, NBA ring? And she's trying to get real close and not, you know, being noticed of looking at it and thinking, you know, oh, it's a Laker. It's a championship Laker. It looks like from 2000.
They can just ask and you would gladly show it to them. I mean,
absolutely.
It's a conversation piece.
But, you know, I want to talk a little bit about this Republican.
Yeah, but we don't
field.
Have time.
Hold
but
on
we don't
for
have
the
time.
Break.
It's
just,
I got to go, guys. Let me tell you something. I've got a pizza in the oven.
I know. Your pizza's
right?
in the oven. The helicopter's on the roof.
You know, and I mean, like, it's just so by chance that I'm here. But you know what? This is a very, very nice studio.
It is.
It is a great studio.
Thank you for blessing us by being here. And after the break, we're going to bring on Kelly O'Neill. And we're going to continue the conversation around branding on Reinvention Radio.
One person has the power to change the world, impact millions of lives, and leave a legacy for lifetimes to come. That person is you. In the New York Times bestseller, What Is Your What? Steve Ulcher, award-winning author and founder of the Reinvention Workshop, reveals his proven process that has helped thousands of men and women discover, share, and monetize the one thing they were born to do. Grab your free copy now at www.whatisyourwhat.com/free. That's www.whatisyourwhat.com/free.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulcher.
I'm sorry.
Why are you pointing at the mic like that?
I just got to chuckle. I mean, it's like he's in and out like the wind. It's
a hurricane wind.
I'm a little scared.
That was big energy.
You know what I was doing actually while he was, I was protecting my kneecaps. For some reason, I just had a vision of like my kneecaps being busted.
Who is he?
Here's the deal about Nikki. There is no Nikki. We don't talk. After, like, he leaves, we don't talk about
It's like
Nikki.
Vegas.
It's like Vegas. Exactly. Whatever happens in the studio with Nikki
But we were just on air, so whatever happens in the studio, everybody knows about it already.
All right. So speaking of on air, let's bring Kelly on. She's been nice and patient. And I got to tell you, you probably got a kick out of that conversation there, didn't you, Kelly?
Oh, you know, I did. And patient, that's like the first time anyone's ever called me that. I've got about as much patience as a 3-year-old in the heat wave with a diaper rash.
So basically, you're like rich. That's
that describes me perfectly.
I'm not patient.
All right, so let's jump in here real quick. So for those that don't know you, Kelly, give us the brief overview, and then we're going to jump you right into the conversation.
Sure, no problem. So my name is Kelly O'Neill, and back in 2009, I launched a program called Marketing to Millionaires, where I specialize in teaching entrepreneurs and business owners how to attract and serve affluent clientele. So I spent a majority of my career in public relations, starting when I was 18 years old, in public relations and branding and advertising and helping people get their message out to the world.
Gotcha. So let's talk about, just for a second here, because I want to continue that conversation, because I'm sure you have an opinion or two. Talk about branding as it relates to politics, and what is your take? When you look at the candidates in the field right now, what are they doing right? What are they doing wrong? What are they sending off? Because I know that that's a big part of what you talk about in terms of how to position yourself, obviously on the back end so that you can attract the affluent clients. But at the beginning, it all starts with the relationship that you develop, that rapport that you develop. So what do you see in sort of in the political space right now, if you don't mind talking about it?
I'm probably the worst person to ask about this because politics is not my thing, and I'll tell you why, actually. It leads into the whole thing about branding. You know, the old way of doing branding, when I started out doing branding, the whole idea, I worked with all different kinds of companies. I worked with brick and mortars. I worked with local companies. And then I did a lot of branding around technology companies. In fact, I think you know that I was the publicist and brand marketing strategist for the Morpheus transition, the software peer-to-peer company that went through that whole lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that we used to do branding is very much like the old paradigm of branding is the way that the politicians are doing branding now, which is you create an image that the people want, that you think have the most likelihood of the people buying, and that's the image you put out there.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with what the actual truth of the matter is. It is an invented brand designed to create more buyers. And, you know, in the politics field, that's like buyers of your message, buying votes, that sort of thing.
Well, you know, it's funny. It gave me a remembrance of, I heard Cher say that anymore you don't have to be a good singer, you just have to have a strong brand. You don't have to be able to sing. They can fix that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Britney Spears, I mean, validates that notion.
Right?
I mean, can she, I don't even, have you even, when she tries to sing Happy Birthday, it's like the kids run out of the room. They're like, oh, God, really? Is that, and Madonna, of course, made, you know, billions without being able to sing a lick.
We just have to work a lot harder today to really make our brand make us stand out, because everybody's thinking, oh, how do I have a brand? How do I make my brand? Am I red colors or purple?
And that's probably part of the problem, right? I mean, Kelly, would you, and again, you don't have to go into deep here on politics, but would you, I guess, perhaps agree that that is, well, part of the reason why people like Trump? Because he just is his own person. He is authentic. It, like him or hate him, you know, he is who he is.
Yes, he's like cilantro. People either love him or they hate him. But he's very clear, and he's not going to change who he is just to get votes.
And so let's talk about that, because, you know, a really interesting thing happened over the last couple of weeks. And I know that this is near and dear to your heart, Mary, because I believe you were centerfold in 1964, was it? I think something like
that. Yeah, as a baby.
As a baby, exactly. In the Gerber Playboy edition. But you talk about branding. Playboy actually just announced that they are no longer going to be featuring nude photos. Like, totally and completely.
Yes, I saw that.
They're going after the, you know, sort of the FHM, Maxim type model. So, like, literally, you know how guys used to say, oh, man, I'm just reading it for the article. You know, I just, that's why I got the magazine. Now,
they're
telling the truth because, you know, but you talk about a brand sort of failure, if you will, in terms of not being able to really keep up with the times. What do you think happened there? Just out of curiosity, Kelly, from an outside perspective.
You know, to be really honest, in terms of the Playboy brand, I'm not sure. I mean, I can't imagine that a company of that stature, I mean, I can't imagine that they did that without some kind of market research that was telling people that that's the direction they wanted to go. But frankly, I'm super interested to see how that turns out, because that is their brand.
Yeah, maybe they're trying to make it a more intelligent brand.
Well, it has to be, because if you want to be stupid, you just Google boobs, and you know, it's like you don't need it anymore. Like, who even buys magazines? Like, does anyone even do you have a magazine subscription,
Kelly?
I
buy magazines.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do. Yep.
Like, what do you subscribe to, just out of curiosity, that you actually want a physical copy of it?
Sure. So I subscribe to Conscious Company magazine.
Yeah.
I subscribe to Oprah magazine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I love what that woman's up to. I think I subscribe to Tennis Magazine.
Of course you do, because you're a tennis pro. All right, so talk about
Oprah,
because she's a perfect example of someone who's really like sort of a, you know, adapted with the times. I mean, she's been in the public eye now for what, like 30 years, 40? I mean, how long?
Fantastic example of personal branding.
So let's talk about that. So what is she doing right?
So what she's doing right is she's doing her.
Which, by the way, no one else wants to do. But yes, even Stedman doesn't want to do that. But that's a different discussion. So she's doing her, meaning, yeah.
Yeah, so here's the thing about branding, right? So especially in the personal brand market, right? You and I tend to surround ourselves with a lot of thought leaders, transformational leaders, entpreneurs, that sort of thing. And the thing is that one of the epidemics in our society is when people don't really understand who they are, they start to adopt other brands. That's why I call it bobblehead marketing. It's literally like creating a bunch of, it's like bobbleheads.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? They're swiping other people's sites and brands and sticking, their own name on it and trying to call it their own. And the problem is the reason why branding is so effective is because it's set to help you communicate your authentic message and help you stand out from the crowd. So if you're doing what everybody else is doing, you're actually flying in the face of what branding is meant to do.
But it's really, really hard to, because ultimately you're going to end up being, super polarizing. It's just the way it is. People either love Oprah or they hate Oprah, but it's pretty clear that, we can't say that she's exactly breaking new ground, because when you come right down to it, look at some of the folks that have been sort of paving the path for her, right? You can look at people like, even Larry King, right? He's been on, doing that interview thing for so long. So it's not as though she was the first one to sort of be involved in that world. But what is it about her that has given, really her the opportunity to command such like a fanatic, loyal, borderline crazy following? Because these women,
she related to her audience
she relates to her audience because she's real.
Mm-hmm.
She's not trying to pose an image like, hey, I'm this perfect person, I've got all my, can we swear on this?
Yes, you can. Have at it. Absolutely.
Well, have you seen her without makeup?
She's not out there going like, look at me, I'm perfect, I have all my shit together.
Yeah.
She's like, look, like, here's my deal. Like, I am really passionate about this. I may do it right, I may not do it right. Hey, look, I've struggled with weight. Hey, look, I put this network out. I'm really passionate about it, and it didn't go well the first year, and so I'm reinventing it, and I'm coming back again, because stuff happens. She talks about the dark, the dark nights of her soul. She talks about the happy times in her life. She when her dog passed away, she brought I boo-hooed like a baby when she did that. She brought this whole video montage of her dog.
You cried too.
Yeah, I remember that episode.
Yeah, it was
like outside for a walk, and somehow died. Choked, I think.
Look, here's three of us right here who probably don't watch a ton of TV, and all three of us remember that episode because that's who she is.
Mm-hmm. Well, she also put
you
it on her magazine.
You can imagine that when you were to walk into her at Whole Foods, that's how she's going to roll.
Yeah, and so it's really interesting, though, because like Mary was just saying, I don't know how many times she did this, but I know she's gone on the air without makeup, right? Just to say, this is who I really am, and this is what makeup can do for me. And obviously, if it can, create this sort of miracle, if you do your makeup right, ladies, it can definitely help you as well. But that's pretty ballsy for a person who doesn't have balls. That's pretty ballsy to go on and just say, look, this is the real me. How many women would be willing to do that?
So here's the thing. By her doing that, this is like the part of leadership, right? By her doing that, she's giving other women the courage to just be themselves. Mm-hmm. That's why women relate to her. It is I can tell you personally, because my entire life up until probably 2010 was a brand. Because I was doing it the old way. I literally invented myself. I completely lost touch with who I even was as a person until I did some really deep personal development work and realized that, I don't have to pretend. And by the way, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
It's exhausting to try to have to pretend that you're something that you're not. And the truth is, when you show up in the world as the person that you really are, you're right. Not everyone's going to resonate with that. You and I know each other outside of here.
Yep.
I'm also a little like cilantro.
I got you.
I've got a ballsy, brash personality.
Yes, you are. Let's do this. We'll bring you back in right here after the break and more with Kelly O'Neill on Reinvention Radio.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. And if you're just joining us, we are talking to Kelly O'Neill, who is the... Well, you've got a moniker, Kelly. What's your moniker? Like, if you said, it's Kelly O'Neill, the... What would you say? How do you fill in the blank on that one?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of shit. I would just say I'm the marketing to millionaires expert. I teach people, you know, I mean, that's really my claim to fame.
Yeah, all right, very
that's
cool.
That's who so, I market to.
To millionaires. Well, you have to in San Diego if you're a realtor. There's nobody else. I mean, you can't buy jack shit if you're not a millionaire here. All right, so let's talk about something real quick, because I know you're really kind of been to this conscious business side of the equation. What does that even mean, conscious business?
Yeah, so that's a great question. Thank you for bringing that up. So really what this means is doing business with awareness. So the businesses that I work with, we're really looking to not only, it's about more than profit, right? Yes, we want to be profitable and we want to make a difference in the world. So we're looking for either a triple or a quadruple bottom line. We're looking to create a win for the clients that we serve, a win for our own company, a win for our communities, our tribe. And, you know, in a business like mine, I support the Unstoppable Foundation. So it's also a win for giving back to the world in an even greater way. So we build villages in Africa.
Mm-hmm. And so of the companies that are out there now, are there any that we know that we, I guess, would hear about, would see on a consistent basis that, I guess, capture the essence of a conscious business?
I would definitely say Tony Hsieh's company is moving in that direction, you know, Zappos. I think they're really aware of their impact in the world. I think they're aware of their impact on their employees, their clients. And I think Tony's done a really beautiful job of really creating ways to create a more, you know, that the community that allows people to thrive in that way.
Mm-hmm. And he's definitely brought in his customer base to support whatever those initiatives are. And that's a pretty interesting byproduct of a business that, when you think about it, I mean, that's kind of a relatively new phenomenon where it's not just like, hey, I'm going to buy your stuff. But when you care about something, well, the customers can care about it as well and really help support that cause. So pretty interesting. Yeah. And yeah, I know Zappos has done some interesting things around that. Which is it?
Yeah. Tom's Shoes is another good one.
What do they do?
Tom's Shoes is—I believe the deal is that every time you buy a pair of Tom's Shoes, they buy a pair of or donate a pair of shoes to children in a foreign country who don't have any.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's—I mean—that's a hell of an initiative right there. All right, so let's do this, because if we're just starting out, I mean, if you're just new sort of to the business world, first and foremost, I know you can help folks get affluent clients, and we're going to talk about that as well. But what do you suggest people do if they're really just kind of starting into the game, insofar as creating that image or that branding, if you will, brand marketing around who they are or what they do that can help them really differentiate themselves from the pack, which I know is something that you're, you know, you're pretty darn adamant about, you know, these folks doing.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, the first thing, I'm going to be honest, right? Branding is something that doesn't happen. Like, I'm an expert brander. I've been doing this for 23 years. And when I go to do my own branding, I'm working with people outside of me because they can kind of, you know, see into what I don't see. So, really, hire the best brand strategist that you can to really help you communicate your what it is that you're after, what it is that you're up to, and what makes you unique in the world. I have seen people, you know, they're like, oh, it's expensive. Yeah, let me tell you what's more expensive. Spinning your wheels for 5 years, 8 years, leaving all that money on the table because no one understands what the hell you do. Yeah. Because you're not clear on what you really do.
Okay, so are you
That's
talking,
expensive.
Are you talking about service professionals that are coaches or entrepreneurs in some way? What about the basic moniker of, we're going to use me as an example.
Like Mary Goulet.
Okay. Mary Goulet Realtor.
Yeah, there you go. So how does Mary Goulet Realtor differentiate? Well, actually, you're looking for affluent clients, though, too. And that's
luxury market, coastal luxury.
And that's a big part of what Kelly does. So what can Mary do then? That's a great question around her positioning and her branding. Any ideas around that?
Yeah, so the very first thing I would do is ask yourself, what are the top 10 ways in which you are different and that your clients would say that you're different than every other realtor out there?
She smells good. That's one.
And I have beautiful rounded eyebrows.
That's two. That's got to go in the
and
business.
Cool. Track. And if your clients are willing to cut you a big fat check for that, you are heading in the right direction.
so that's a great start, though. So create that list of 10. Just off the top of your head, like, what would you, if you had to come up with like one or two, Mary, what would be on that list?
That I've built luxury homes on the coast.
So not only do you understand real estate because you've been selling it, but you've actually built it.
Renovated or built from the ground up minus the fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
I've also worked on Wall Street, so I understand the financial part because I sold Ginny Mae's, Fannie Mae's, Freddie Mac's to institutional clients. So I get how the back end of the mortgage industry works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's a big part of it, even though some people come in cash, but at least I can talk the language.
So Kelly, how does Mary work that into the equation? How does she work that into the business discussion? How does she work that into branding?
Right. So, I mean, how your branding works is first, it's an internal thing, right? It's what's the differentiating proposition? Like, as an example, and I'll give you an example since it's an easy one for me to use, which is me, right? If you guys go to KellyO'Neill.com, and Steve, I'm sure you've been there, you will get a very, very clear sense of exactly who I am, which is exactly what your online presence should do,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's in the way that you talk. It's in the way that you show up. It needs to be in alignment. So, like, you know, an example of that would be, you know, Mary, for you, like, you want to, if you're specializing in coastal real estate, your website is going to want to look, it's going to want to have the look and feel of you living luxuriously on the coast.
So if she doesn't look the part, then it's kind of hard to sell.
Are you saying I don't look the part?
You absolutely
right. Like, I mean, let me give you an example. Would anyone buy? Like, I don't mean to be mean, but is anyone going to buy personal training from a 400-pound personal trainer?
Well, they buy it from Rich, and you know, and Rich is walking around. What is that? 24-25% body fat now? Yeah, somewhere in there.
You're not very nice.
Or if your financial advisor rolls up in a 1973 Pinto.
Mm-hmm.
How confident are you going to feel?
I don't know, right. Because at this point, that's probably a classic, right? I mean, you're spending big money to pick up a 73 Pinto nowadays. But yeah, obviously, I get your point. So
yeah, or Steve Ulster. Let's put it this way. If I sit down next to you at dinner and I go, hey, Steve, what are you having to drink? Oh, I don't drink. Okay, well, that's weird.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And for those of you who are just joining us right now, Kelly's references to the fact that I own Liquor.com, which, by the way, this episode of Reinvention Radio is brought to you by the good folks at Liquor.com. Yeah. All right, so
Liquor.com.
Exactly.
Nice plug there, Steve.
Thank you. It's all I do. All right, so, okay, so that's a great idea. So come up with a top 10 list. Anything else that she can start thinking about doing?
Yeah, you really want to bring into your own personality. Like, as an example, they want, again, it's just like Oprah. They want to know who you really are because they're not buying, like, they're not buying a real estate agent. They're buying you to be their real estate agent. You know, a great example of this, Mary, I'm sure you've seen the show's Million Dollar Listing.
Absolutely.
Right. Do each of those gentlemen have their own very unique, distinct brands?
Yes.
And they show up in their personalities, and it rolls throughout everything they do, from the types of cars they drive, you know, to the types of homes that they live in, mm-hmm. to the way that they handle their client meetings, to the way that they market. You know, they're really known for innovative marketing strategies. That's one of the things that they're known for. You know, I know, what's the guy that, Josh Flagg,
yeah,
you know,
Flagg,
he's known to have be the realtor of the Truesdale market and to really have sold that market when no one else was selling it. He's like the father of Truesdale. Like, that's a really great way to be able to attach your brand. But they're also looking at who you are and how you roll as a person. And what I want to really make clear here is it's not about being something you're not.
Right.
It's about being more of who you are and connecting that to the people that are really going to adore that. Like, one of the reasons, you know, Oprah, you know, being a fellow dog lover, I love it that she has dogs. Dog lovers stick together. Cat lovers stick together.
Yeah, you know? Because so they don't have any of their friends. They need to stick together.
Especially the cat
lover. Oh, you stop that.
Who wants to hang out with a cat lady? Who wants to hang out with a cat lady? Are you a cat lady?
Well,
Kelly?
Who wants to hang out with a dog lady? I have three dogs. So like, as an example, this goes down into how you, it's, you know, the branding is not just about the graphics. What happens is when you solidify the brand strategy, then it comes out in all of the different things. So as an example, if Mary was a diehard dog lover and she wanted to give a sense of who her personality is, I'd probably do a photo shoot in front of Luxury Realty on the beach with her dog running around her.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
because,
that's good.
Now, if you don't like dogs, right, like, this would be the old way of branding. It would be to plant stuff. So it's like more like she like hates dogs, but she thinks her clients really might like dogs. So she like hijacks some random dog on the beach and like puts it in front of her for a photo shoot.
I could do
and,
that.
You know, then when people start, you know, like, that's the old way of branding.
But
the new way of branding is to bring yourself out in the communication.
So we only have about 30 seconds, but just to your point, I was looking at a card that I got from an agent and his business partner, male and female, Coastal Luxury, my neighborhood, and they're standing on industrial stairs somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even standing on the steps at the beach.
So it's brand
misalignment.
Totally.
Brand misalignment.
I looked at this
Ooh.
And I was like, wait a minute, where are they standing? It mm-hmm. looks like they're standing at the hospital.
Yeah, really, really interesting. All right, so let's do this. We will take a break here on Reinvention Radio, and I've got a pretty interesting question that I think the only person in the world that can answer it would be Miss Kelly O'Neill. So we will be talking to Kelly O'Neill. We're going to be talking about reinventing brand marketing and more on Reinvention Radio right after this.
Born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you are meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Olscher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. And, man, it's amazing how time just simply flies by. I know. Hard to believe.
Great.
All right, so it's pretty interesting because we're talking about branding and reinventing brand marketing here with Kelly O'Neill. And I know there is a question that, well, I'm going to say that Kelly O'Neill is probably the only person in the world who is going to be able to answer this question. So, Kelly, I got a question for you.
Okay, shoot.
You ready? Okay, here we go.
No pressure. Go ahead.
No pressure at all.
You've got these down. You've got it.
I think you've got this answer, but now I'm, like, incredibly curious. what are the two tattoos, and which one needs to be removed?
Oh, jeez. Okay, I do have the answer to this, unfortunately.
You don't have to answer that if you don't want to.
Because we're talking about branding now, so she literally branded herself. I'm curious.
But she wants to unbrand something.
I'm curious, because what does a brand marketer do? I mean, like, somebody who's all about branding, what is a tattoo? A tattoo is a brand, right? That's, like, literally, like...
branding yourself, yes.
You ever see, like, those Omega Sci-Fi guys, and they, like, literally... Rich, you run with some of those guys, right? I mean, the guys who, like, literally take, like, the cowpoke thingy and, like... onto their arms.
Those are Southern football players.
Exactly. All right,
someone has read my website.
Yes, he did.
No, actually, I've seen the tattoos, and I knew that you wanted to get rid of one of them.
Oh, man, that may have been a martini evening. I can imagine.
No, I'll tell you what it was. I'll tell you specifically what it was. I believe I caught you right after your session with Ben and Jen. So if you haven't listened to the podcast and listened to the episode of Reinventing Sex, go check that one out with Ben and Jen Rohde. Okay, so, yeah, that's when I think that's when I got you right then and there. So what is it?
Oh, that's funny. All right, I have one on my base chakra, which are two of my core values, which are abundance and gratitude.
And so which one has to go? Gratitude?
No. It would be the one that when I believe I met what I thought was my soulmate, that turned out to be one of my largest life lessons.
Rich Ote?
He and I had each half of a heart on our side.
Well, all you got to do is give another half a heart to some other guy. You're with somebody now, so just like...
No, I just got to get rid of it.
it's like...
You just got to go.
You could have just done like one of those necklace things. You know how those guys like have those necklace things? You know, it's like half a heart, and then the other person wears the half a heart. You could have just done that, and then be like, oh, fuck it, this guy's done, and you just throw away the heart. But you actually have it like...
Look, so here's the thing. I mean, you guys know this about me. Like, I don't half-ass anything. I fully commit. Like, that was the fully committed... direction. And, you know, honestly, I don't regret it. I'll just get it removed. Whatever.
Right. So can I be completely honest here? I'll be completely honest here. So I have a tattoo.
Yeah, I imagine you would be anyways. Please go ahead.
So I have a tattoo on my shoulder. And it's like this little cherub looking thingy with like the wings, and it's holding a heart, and it says Lena. Like, we got those. That's my wife's name. We got those like literally about 2 weeks before we got married. And over the years, I mean, as many couples do, like, you know, I mean, we fight and we've had our ups and downs. We've been married 18 years. And there's been plenty of times where I'm like, you know, fucking, I'm out of here, right? And then I look at the tattoo and I'm like, damn it, then I don't have to get that thing removed. So I'm like, no, I'm just going to stay in the relationship because I don't want to get the tattoo removed. That's how much of a pussy I am. Like, I've seen, like literally, my wife had a tattoo on her, like, inner forearm kind of thing over by her elbow on the inside of the, whatever they call that area. And, like, she would
inner
go
forearm by
inner
your elbow.
Forearm by your elbow. Right. The fulcrum of your arm, whatever. So she went to get her tattoo removed at this place where they use, you know, like, it was like kind of like a no cost kind of Chicago Public, whatever, this thing and the other. Like, there were all these gang members there, like these big, huge, you know, bang, just crazy dudes. Like, if you ever saw them on the street, you'd be like, holy fuck, like, I need to move like in that direction. And like, she was saying that these guys were like screaming and crying and just going nuts, like with this laser thing, getting the tattoos removed. And she's looking at him like, you guys are just wimps, you know? So
she removed your name and your heart?
Yeah, exactly. That's the tattoo she got rid of. Funny enough, she actually does have a tattoo with this exact same thing, but it's on the it's in a private area. So fortunately, I'm the only one who can see
so
it.
She doesn't
I'm
have
sure
to admit
she's thrilled
it.
You're putting this on national radio as well.
You know what? If you've listened to
this
the show, yeah, if you've listened to the show, you know that my wife no longer listens to what I do at all. So it's yeah. So all right, so that's gone. All right, so let's do this real quick because we're God, it's so fast here. I got to tell you, we got to do like a 17-hour show. That's the plan here. We're gonna switch Reinvention Radio to a 17-hour show. All right, that's gonna be the plan. But but before we wrap up here, first and foremost, what's your website? You got to give that out before we run out of time. How do people find out about you?
Sure. You guys can pop on over to KellyO'Neill.com. That's KellyO'Neill. And I've actually got a very cool little report there, 101 ways to find your affluent clients. They are not hiding, my friends.
All right, so let's talk about that, because I do, you know, my own consulting stuff, which I just started doing not terribly long ago, because frankly, I hate people for the most part. I didn't really want to help them. So, I mean, that's kind of why I didn't do it. But now I'm sort of doing it because they're paying me and I like money. So it's like, do I like money more than people? And I think the answer is yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
So I'm clear on that now, which is why, you know, my brand is I like money more than people. I'll take your money, but I won't like you, but I will help you. So I think that's my tagline at this point. So, but there's a lot of people out there who do. You like that, Rich? You're smiling over there. I got a smile out of you. All right. So.
True.
It is true. But there's a lot of people out there who have talent who do the types of things that I do. And of course, I only want to work with the affluent people because, well, frankly, they're a lot less of a pain in the ass than the people who don't pay you. It's funny, like the people who pay you like 50 grand are like cool shit to work with. The people who pay you like a grand, they fucking drive you nuts.
Okay, so what were you asking her to tell us before?
Oh, so I got to ask her a question.
Okay, we're done. We know who you are.
All right, so the question is, what do I do? What does someone like me do to get some of these affluent clients?
No, actually, someone like me. I'm nice. I like people.
Oh, that's right. We were talking about you. I'm sorry. Right. Before the break, we were talking about Mary. What does Mary do? So in addition to some of the things that you mentioned, the top 10 and that sort of thing, is there anything else on that list that we need to be thinking about to get to these affluent clients?
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of things. You know, my thing is submerge yourself in the affluent environment in a way that's authentic to what you do. I'll give you a great example. I love tennis. Everyone who knows me knows that I am like a big avid tennis player. The very first thing that I did when I moved to Las Vegas and I didn't know a soul here is that I went to and I joined a country club. Right? I've gotten several clients from the country club, but by just doing the things that I love to do anyways. Mm-hmm. So that's one area. So what are the things you love to do? Do you love drinking wine? Join a wine tasting club. You know, do you like running? Join a runner's club in area. Any kind of social club or business club that's in a more affluent area as well. You want to go where the groups of your ideal clients are hanging out with something that you already love to do. So it's not like a chore, right? Like no one has to twist my arm to go play tennis and go hang out at the, you know, social events at my country club. It's super fun. Mm-hmm. So that would be one area. The other thing is, and you know, again, this is something that aligns really personally with me, but it's another idea, is I say get involved with charities. The more that you can get on the boards of charities, you know, people that are affluent, Steve, I think you've heard me say this before, you know, consciousness is the new luxury. Mm-hmm. So people that are highly affluent, it's like they've got enough stuff. They've got beautiful houses. Now what they're looking for is to contribute meaning to their lives. And so part of the way that they do that is by giving back to their communities, giving back to charitable foundations. So if you can get involved with charity events, if you can sit on the board, if you can volunteer your time, you're going to put yourself into a situation to be able to build relationships with your ideal clients.
Yeah, no, that's really, really good advice. And before I forget, you also have a book on the subject. What is the name of the book that you've got?
I've written a couple books. I'm in the process. It's not done yet. My editor will kill me, called Marketing to Millionaires. But I also wrote a book called, with Nick Manton of Celebrity Press, called Ignite Your Business, Transform Your World.
Ignite Your Business, Transform Your World. Yeah, absolutely. And when is the new book due to come out? Obviously, you've got, you know, some work to do on it, as it sounds. But when generally do you think the book's going to be available? Because it's a great title.
Yeah, we're looking mid-2016. I have a television show that's coming out before that. So I'm working on that right now.
Sweet. What's the television show? How do we find you in the last 20 seconds here of the program?
It's gonna be on Hulu.com through Real Wisdom. It's called Las Vegas Home Makeover. It's about making over your house that aligns with your brand.
Awesome. Well,
nice.
Ms. Kelly O'Neill, really, really do appreciate you joining us here on Reinvention Radio, and we will talk to you really, really soon. All right. Really, really interesting here, guys. Wow. So reinventing brand marketing, and I got to tell you, if you do it right, I mean, you see what she does and how she does it, and there's definitely a method to that madness.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
And you should be using all this stuff.
I already am involved in a charity, but it's a homeless charity.
Well, that's okay. It's the people that are on the board doing those things that are potential clients for you. All right. Awesome with Kelly O'Neill here today and more on Reinvention Radio. Next time, we'll talk to you really soon.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olsher, visit reinventionradio.com.